Good afternoon, everyone. I think you'll agree that today is a great day to celebrate miracles, and that's what we're kind of focusing on today with our dedication. My name is Dennis Lancaster. I'm the chancellor here at Missouri State University West Plains, and today it's my great honor to welcome you to the official dedication of our Neurodiversity and Autism Center. This building and the mission behind it represents a profound commitment to access, inclusion, and student success. It is a space built not only of brick and beam, but also of vision, compassion, and the belief that all students deserve the chance to thrive. Before we begin the program, I'd like to recognize some of the individuals and organizations whose efforts and generosity made, in my mind, this miracle possible. First of all, and we'll hear from him in just a minute, former Governor Mike Parson, and he's with his wife, Teresa, over here. Carla Esslinger, you know Carla, a former state senator and now commissioner of education for the state of Missouri. Carla had planned to be here, but unlike some of us who are thinking about retirement, she has a job. And she got hung up today. She sends her best to all of us and congratulates the campus and the university. Also want to recognize former state representative David Evans, and David's over here. We'll hear from David. We have our mayor, West Plains Mayor Mike Topliff, and his wife Pam here in front. I want to recognize two men, Ralph Riggs, who's our Howe County Commissioner, and then our former Howe County Commissioner Mark Collins. I don't know if Mark made it or not, but there's Ralph. There's Mark. Hello, Mark. And they helped us. And the governor might be able to speak to that, but we, as we were looking at funding and how we put all this together, then Mark and the county commission at the time, and then Ralph, when he became our presiding commissioner, confirmed all of that, that $500,000 came from the local, from our county, and from ARPA funds, I think, Mark. And it helped put us over the line. Something like that. So I'm thankful so much for that. Also want to recognize from our U.S. Senator Eric Schmidt's office, Tucker Jobs, and Mike Usery. I saw Tucker. And next to him, you see, is Megan. Megan's our U.S. Congressman Jason Smith's representative. And so, Megan, thanks for being here. Missouri State University Board of Governors member Melissa Gorley. Melissa, right down here in front. Shining in grizzly blue. Very good. And former Board of Governors member Carol Sylvia. And Carol's right here. We'll hear from her in just a minute as well. And then you don't just do this by yourself, obviously. This is a complicated program. Takes expertise in many ways. So I have a list of people that I want to recognize. You might hold your applause for just a minute. But these are members of the current advisory board for our TJ Swift House Ascend program. That's Terry Edgar, Michelle Henderson, Tracy Hollis Cooper, who I'll introduce to you in a few minutes. Ron Kearns, our own Ron Kearns here at the campus. Shirley Lawler. Shirley, my predecessor, my mentor, and my very good friend. Amy Ross from the local school district, and Angela Toddy, our very own Angela Toddy. Former members of the advisory board are Rachel Peterson, Robin Thomas, and Diana Wiley. So if you would give them a round of applause. So you're looking at the building, and you'll get to see the inside and why we are so very proud of this building and what it's designed to do. And that doesn't happen. It would not look the same if I did this, that's for sure. But the very talented team at Dake Wells Architecture, in the Springfield office in particular, they designed this building to be both functional and welcoming, with neurodiverse students at the heart of every design decision. They worked closely with our folks and did their research, and it is a building, I would say, that will be known world-round because of what we've done here. And so I appreciate them very much. I'm probably going to miss someone, but Kirk Dillon, and Joey Ham. Kirk, I saw Kirk earlier. Where are you guys? Always in the back. There we go. And then Andrew Wells. Andrew, principal partner and a very good friend of mine who latched on, there he is, latched on to our vision over a cup of coffee. And anyway, I just appreciate him and his creativity and his team. Also want to recognize, and I will, I'm sorry, I probably should have gotten the pronunciation of this, but is it Enterprise Building Systems? If you're not here, I guess you don't care. But Jacob Loker, oh, there we go, I'm sorry. Way in the back, very back. There we go. We'll catch up later. Jacob, are you Jacob? And then Brad? Okay, and Brad Palmer, so want to recognize. You know, Robinson Construction. Robert, to this, the two Bobs, Robert Milner and Bob Solomon. Where are the Bobs? We have, are they here? There we go. Man, I'm not supposed to be partial, but I'm retiring, so no one cares. Robinson Construction, guys, such a great partner. We're going to hire them as development officers because every time we showed up with someone we wanted to show what was happening here, they took the lead and could explain this as well and sometimes better than we could. So I appreciate both Robert and Bob very, very much. Our Springfield Planning, Design, and Construction team, so much that they have to cover in terms of the university, but they were on the ball. Every day with this. So I want to recognize Vice President for Administration and Finance, Matt Morris, Mark Wheeler, who's our University Architect and Director of Planning, Design, and Construction, Adam Schuler, our own Adam Schuler, who we have adopted. He's the Project Manager for the West Wades Capital Projects. Anyway, he was here with us. Stephen Kaufman, Bethany Henry, and Chelsea Morrow. So hats off to them. And then again, members of the ASCEND program staff, Michaela King, who you'll meet in a minute, Tanya Miller, Nina Williams, and then all of our ASCEND program students. So if you're an ASCEND program student, would you wave? Would you wave? They're all dancing. To hear from two of them, their classmates here in just a minute. Finally, a special thanks to my team, who I love dearly, Trish Smith, Quinn Patterson, Michaela King, and Dakota Bates for putting all this together. So again, one last round of applause for all of them. This center answers a call that is growing louder every year. According to the CDC, just of this month, one in every 31 children in the United States has been diagnosed with the autism spectrum disorder. Here in Missouri, that figure is one in 71. Although exact data is not available right now, there is a belief that our numbers are incredibly high and growing in this region. These numbers reflect real lives, students with immense potential who need environments where they are not only supported, but understood and celebrated. And yet, across the country, very few states, through their public two-year colleges, have made the kind of investment that we are celebrating today. What makes this center especially unique is that it's not merely a program added into an existing space. This is a newly constructed, purpose-built facility designed from the ground up to serve autistic and other neurodiverse students in a setting that honors their strengths, supports their needs, and helps them transition successfully into higher education and beyond. We believe it may be the first and only building of its kind on a public two-year college campus in the entire United States. This is more than a regional milestone. This is a national model, and this is part of our vision as a campus. To help us reflect on the meaning of this achievement, I'm honored to introduce several speakers who have played key roles in this project. First, please welcome Mike Parson, the 57th governor of our great state of Missouri, who served from 2018 to 2025. He's a third-generation farmer. I asked him how the tractor was going. He said he kind of liked that. He's a former sheriff and proud veteran. Governor Parson has long been a champion for education, workforce development, and rural communities. We could not have had this without Governor Parson. So, Governor Parson.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Man, it's great to be in West Plains today. It is not great wearing a suit again, let me tell you. So you all feel pretty special for me to put this thing on. It smells a lot like mothballs is what it smells like, but it's great to be down here, and as Dennis was introducing all the dignitaries that were here today, a lot of them, my names sound familiar because I've appointed a lot of them to different positions. And I was going to get on to Carla a little bit for not showing up on her home turf and for as much as she pestered me about this money for this. But then I guess I was the one who kind of helped her get that job at Jeff City. So there you go again. So I can get a little blame for that too. I do want to say, well, and second of all, I think this is the first time me and the First Lady have been to an event since we left Jeff City together. So glad she's with us today and traveling with me. I do want to say something about the county commissioners that were recognized a little earlier. When a lot of the relief money come down years ago, I really reached out and I wanted counties to understand how important it was to utilize that money for something that would be a test of time, that would have longevity to it. And I know there's lots of needs that counties always have. But I want to give those guys credit, because they represent everybody that's here today from this area, that they did think a little bit of ahead. They did think, what can we really do that's going to make an impact in this community, not for a little while, but forever. And I want to thank you commissioners and everybody that was behind this on the local levels, the politicians, everybody, for really having the sight for the future and to really to help somebody that we really all are going to feel good about, helping individuals just need a little help. So I thank you guys for what you did. And David sitting beside me here, you all know, and needless to say, he sure had his share of challenges too, to be able to go through life as it is right now. But I'm very grateful for him, for his service to Jefferson City, service to represent you, but also for what he did to make sure this project got through. And if it wasn't for him and Carla, I will be honest with you, I'm not sure we'd all be standing here today and you'd be thinking about, boy, that governor's really a good governor when he was governor. You may be thinking, what was he thinking? But I'm telling you, those two come to my office on different occasions and said, this is very important to West Plains, to this community, and to the service area. And without a doubt, we all made the right decision by making sure this day would be possible to do that. I told a few of them around back, me and Teresa's not exempt from this. We have a great niece. She did correct me. I called her niece a while ago. She said, that's a great niece. So that is autistic. So we have a little insight into what that world is like. But for all of you that are here today, I think the one thing it shows is just how important this is, because I'm gonna tell you, I go to a lot of ribbon cuttings and open houses to different things we've done in the state. But I'm gonna tell you, this crowd today is significant to what we're doing here today, because what it does tell you of all the different people involved, how important this was for the community and for all of you to come out here today to be part of this ceremony, says a lot for the people of West Plains and Howe County for you to be here and the impact you're going to have. As governor, I will tell you one feeling we will have to share the same. You're going to help people that you're never going to see, you're never going to meet, and you're never going to realize you've done it by your efforts to be here to do what you've done today. That's how important it is to do the right thing sometimes for other people. And I think that's one of the things I look back on from my career, think of all the people that I probably won't meet, I won't see, but I know in a roundabout way, we tried to make things just a little better for everybody. So it's great to be here. The state is happy and grateful we invested the money right here in this facility and what it means. So partnerships is what it's about, and this couldn't be a more better partnership event than we are here today. Thank you for having me and Teresa back. We appreciate it, and as always, it was an honor and privilege to be the 57th governor of the great state of Missouri. God bless. Thank you all very much.
We are also honored to welcome David Evans, our former Missouri State Representative, a lifelong resident of West Plains, and a dedicated public servant. Before joining the legislature, David and I went to a science fair one time in Rolla. You don't remember this, do you?
I did remember that.
We shared the same hotel room. He scared me to death. David served at Howe County Circuit Court Judge and practiced law in our community. His tireless advocacy for families, education, and rural justice continues to leave a deep impact in the Ozarks and beyond. So, Judge.
In my old friend Dennis really wanted me to remind you one last time about those $100 t-shirts. I can tell you with all honesty, all proceeds go to the Dennis Lancaster Retirement Fund. And Governor Parson and I did truthfully talk earlier, and this is both of our first time we had to wear a suit over the last 2 months since we both retired. I'm going to keep this short, just mention three things. Very briefly, talk a little bit more about what the state had to do on this. To thank particularly everybody, but one very special person that we wouldn't be here without her, that's sitting on my left. And to encourage the students here, this is what this is for. We did this for you and many colleagues of yours in the future. What you do with your lives can change the world. It really can if you grab hold of your education, of your talents, your skills, and the heart to do the right thing. Being a state rep can be very challenging, very annoying at times. I remember a night a couple years ago when Carl and I had talked to Dennis and Carol and about several possible projects. And we kind of all agreed to this being a phenomenal project that year to try to work on for our town, our community, most importantly for the kids and their families. And we did. We filed what's called a bill. You had to file budget bills for $7.5 million and worked on it most of the session. And there came a point where Carl and I talked and we're on the verge of giving up. There's roadblocks always to. There's good ideas here, there'll be good ideas in every community across the state for the very limited budget dollars. We of course thought this was the best, and I still think that, and it's near and dear to my heart that we got this done for many, many reasons. But I went to a dinner one night to hear the governor speak and was sitting there, and all of a sudden a magnificent lady sat down in the chair next to me and just happened to ask, what have you been doing? And so I took the chance. Sometimes lightning strikes, things happen. I believe in fate. And when you're given an opportunity, you do what you can. And I just explained, hey, we've got this great project. Dennis is a great guy. He had a great idea for West Plains and for the school and for the state. But we're at a dead end. We don't think we can do it this year. Maybe next year, maybe later, but we really don't think we can get it done. And she looked at me and talked about her family and her heart and her commitment and said, don't give up. That is a wonderful idea. Keep charging on, do your best, and see what happens. And so I called my good friend Carla later and said, hey, we can't give up. I talked to the governor's wife herself. I just happened to be sitting next to her at dinner. And she said, give it your best shot. And that's what we did. And, you know, at that time I didn't know of the close connection with her family and autism. And it worked out. And again, is to me the highlight perhaps of my career up there is to help the community, but to help kids build a better life and future for themselves. And there's no doubt in my mind that the vision of the Swifts, Carol, everybody in the community that had a hand in this, of getting it going, it's going to be truly remarkable. And I think we are blessed to have the support from the state, but most importantly, blessed to have the support from all the community and the families here. Little things in life can sometimes, as I mentioned, make a big difference. Kind hearts, listening ears, compassionate souls can change lives, can change the world. And guys and gals, you got to remember that. Take advantage of this school, of this community, of the state and its resources, but also decide in your heart what you want to do, what's right for you, and then go for it. I will never forget her words. Don't give up. Don't back down. Do what you think is right and help other people. So thank you, Governor and First Lady. Again, without your help and your commitment to the state, we wouldn't be here.
Now please welcome Tracy Hollis Cooper, whose generous and forward-thinking philanthropy provided this financial spark that launched the Ascend program and the vision for the Neurodiversity and Autism Center. Her vision continues to ripple through the lives of every student we serve. And Tracy, if you would introduce your family when you come up, and they've also been part of the Ascend initiative. So, Tracy.
Hello. First of all, I'd like to introduce my son and daughter, Nate Swift and Keely Swift Gale. Would you stand up? They don't want to. And my husband, Bob Cooper's back there, wave. And he said, introduce my family. I've got my brothers and my cousins and my second cousin and my niece. No, joking. But also, one of my most important family members is TJ Swift House. Would you guys wave your hands? Yeah. Back there. So, Dennis had asked me if I'd just take a few minutes and share my thoughts on this building. And my thoughts on this building is it's amazing. It's amazing that we can have a building on this level to honor and to respect people that have deserved this for a long time, and West Plains stepped out and decided to do it. MSU West Plains campus decided to do it, so that makes me so proud. TJ Swift House is an agency that takes care of people with disabilities. And as of this year, we have been a business for 35 years. And we live by a code. Oh. I was a baby when I started. For 35 years, we've practiced the code of do right, love to care for people, and be teachable. And I would say to MSU West Plains campus, you did it upright. By all means, you did it right. I'm so thankful for that. They, in their planning, they put people first. I listened and observed at the detail that they took in researching and finding what worked for people best and how to support them best. And then they did their very best to accommodate that in the building. That's pretty cool. So 35 years ago, when I started, Governor Ashcroft was shutting down the large institutions, and he was putting people back out in the community, which was a great step. But just not even 15 years ago, I watched a young man named Greg, who had all the ability and potential to go from high school to a higher education, and because he didn't have the adaptability and the copability, he stayed home and played games and watched movies, but studied his history books and loved his history books. And he would have been the best history student ever. But there was no place for him to go because he didn't have the support. But now, my daughter-in-law, Erin, told me of a story of this young girl that she knows whose brother has autism. And when she drives by this building, she says, my brother is going to get to go there. So what could be better than that, that hope and that vision, and to be able to fulfill the purpose and the destiny that we're all given to fulfill. So I'm really here to say thank you for Dennis and Carol, who invited me to coffee and pie. The pie's what got me. And they shared their vision, and then I got to meet with Representative Evans and Senator Esslinger, and they just stayed on it and advocated and pushed it through. But the garden group, wave your hands, I know Carol's going to recognize you, that made it pretty so that it's not just a wonderfully unique, and you'll see all that they've done, but just pretty. And then I want to thank anybody that's ever contributed or honored a person with diversity needs, that this world needs more compassion, more come alongside, more cheerleading. So anyway, thank you, West Plains MSU campus. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Tracy. We were also privileged to hear from Carol Sylvie, my cohort in crime. Beware, if you have coffee, you know, she asks you for coffee and pie, beware. Carol's a former MSU Board of Governors member and a former faculty and staff member here at MSU West Plains, and she led the creation of the Sensory Garden Giving Circle, which funded one of the most distinctive and peaceful elements of our center. And as Tracy said, you'll get to see that here on the tour. So Carol, would you come and share just a bit?
Governor Parsons and Mrs. Parsons, it's such an honor that you could come today, and to all of the folks on the platform and out there. It is all about friendships and people that want to make a difference. And that's what this entire building is built around. Dennis and I, as he said, have been partners in crime on a number of occasions. And at one point he said, you know, we're going to have to lop off the sensory garden. We just do not have enough money, despite what the county and the state had done and what Tracy had done. And I said, wait just a minute. I think, Dennis, I can find some people who want to make a difference. So I called my friend Florence James, and I said, Florence, let me run an idea by. The university is building this phenomenal building for individuals with diversity, neurodiversity issues. Do you think I could get some people who'd give $1,000 for 5 years? She said, count me in. I said, okay, make a list of some of your best friends. And at that point, we began to connect with our best friends. In addition, there had been a number of years ago when I did officially work for the university, a group of philanthropic women, and probably in the 90s. So I approached the people that I had known who'd been in that group, and Pat Hilton is the only one who is with us today, and said, Pat, you know that philanthropic women group? Let's reorganize it. And so this sensory garden that you will see, which is truly awesome, is the result of 25 plus individuals who have pledged their money and their support. And they have occasionally toured this facility, but they have not seen the garden yet. So along with all of you, they will see what a difference a little commitment and a little support can make. I think we have about half of the group. Would you all stand up if you're a member of the Sensory Garden group? They look just like you, and you too can make a difference. Help someone today.
Thank you, Carol. Finally, I'd like to introduce Michaela King. She's our director of the Ascend program, and I can't tell you how dependent we have been on Michaela and her expertise and wisdom, and I just want to thank her. She knows. Anyway, Michaela's going to come and lead a brief conversation with two of our amazing Ascend students, Darby and Eldon, as they share their stories and insights. So Michaela and Darby and Eldon.
Well, thank you. It is an honor to be a part of this Ascend program. And when we were initially talking about who would be speaking, I said, well, let's have our students. You would much rather hear from them than from me. And so we're just going to have them share just a little bit about their story, and I'm just going to ask them a couple of questions and let you really get a chance to hear from them, because the reality is this is what the program is all about and this is what this building is all about. So tell me about your concerns for college, or were there concerns in coming to college? And I'll just let you each go.
I think my main concerns with coming back to college was the social aspect, interacting with teachers and fellow students, also the unknown of classes and how they were structured, because every professor has a different teaching style, and I didn't know how classes would really look for me. So with the program, I was actually able to meet the professors beforehand, and that was a huge help, really helped me alleviate some of those fears.
Definitely a lot of the same stuff, making sure like what classes I know, professors I need to get to know, making the adjustment from living away from home for the first time in 18, 19 years. Definitely having these people here to help is a big step up from what could have not been if it had not been for here.
So tell the people out here what Ascend does for you and how the supports help you while you're at the university.
The support has just been mind-blowing for me, honestly. They really help you keep up with homework, make sure you're up to date on all your work in your classes, and they've helped me in so many other ways too, just general support. Tanya or Michaela are always just a text away if I need them. They've really helped me succeed.
Gotta go with the copy again. Pretty much all the same stuff, you know, just helping you, checking in on you, making sure you're doing all your stuff correctly, and just checking in, making sure you're doing okay all the time. Like, you know, it's always a simple, how are you doing? Or what's up? Or have you gotten this done? It's just everything has been great and help for it.
So tell individuals why would you encourage them to be a part of the Ascend program? If they were considering that, what would you tell them?
Ascend is just an awesome program that genuinely wants you to succeed. There's no masking, there's no expectations for you to act a certain way. You get to just be yourself, and they're there for you. Whatever you need, they provide it as best as they can.
I would say just go for it. There's no harm in doing it. You know, taking the extra help might as well. Pretty much, yeah. It's all great. These people, what they do, they're amazing. You know, couldn't ask for a better group of people to lead it at all. And having their help on an almost daily basis is tremendous.
Well, I'll brag just a second for both of these students real quick. Darby, this semester is now in the honors program at the university. And Eldon is on our... Our students have a story, and we feel so honored and humbled to be a part not only of this program but with this new building, and the bigger that we can grow, we are just ecstatic about that. So thank you all for being here.
Thanks, Darby and Eldon. Darby is in my honors class, and very proud of her. And we learn a lot from Darby as well. So my other students, we will talk occasionally about what's it like to be autistic and in this particular situation, so they get to learn about that. So that kind of interaction across campus is important as well. As autism, you will meet autistic individuals everywhere and as you go across your life. At this moment, we're going to have the traditional cutting of the ribbon. So where are my Chamber of Commerce friends. There we go. Come on, guys. Come on up.